From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it had been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and he learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasured chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. As we begin this journey post-Christmas, it was made evident this morning as we, the men of the church, gathered for our men's fellowship that this is actually the 12th day of Christmas, the Epiphany of our Lord, the day we celebrate the wisdom of the kings or of these who journeyed from the far east. And more than anything else, the lesson of this text tells us today, throughout as Matthew chronicles this story, that they came with one purpose primarily over all the others: to worship. It's as if Matthew, the writer, is telling us, here at the birth of the Savior of the world, the very first response of his people, of those blessed in his coming, is to worship. As we sang about in our anthem this morning, what child is this? The appeal to run to Bethlehem. It was also recorded in the Gospel of Luke that the first response of the shepherds guarding their sheep in the field by night was to bow down in worship. Surely we can't forget the words of King Solomon, the wisest man the world has ever known according to Scripture, who said this: "The beginning of all knowledge is in the fear of the Lord," in the worship, the reverence, the respect of our Lord. That's when you hear this word homage repeated throughout this passage. How it's such a contradiction to the life and leadership of Herod as opposed to that of the kings from the Far East. So this morning, as we look more closely at the life of Herod and the response of the kings, I think they both can give us a guide of how to begin our year as wise people who still seek the Lord, who begin each day celebrating his love and striving to grow more in his image. In our text today, our scripture tells us in verse 3 that when Herod received word that a king had been born in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, that he was frightened. You know, when I think of the things that bring us fear in this world, it's oftentimes the things that are unexpected, right? If we know something's coming, if somebody is trying to play peekaboo, ever how you say it, with a young child, it's more frightening to the child if they don't know it's coming, right? And if they're somewhat prepared, they can laugh along and not be truly fearful. Well, friends, even as we grow older, it's the things that we are not expecting that fear us most. In fact, if we feel like our world will not present us challenges and adversities, then when they come, we will be fearful. When there's turmoil in our nation as we're facing right now, with the bitterness of division on different sides, when we, dear friends, aren't surprised, we aren't so fearful. We know that our God in heaven is truly in control of our world and that our Savior has came down to set us free from our brokenness. We too don't have to be engulfed with fear. Even though Herod was consumed with fear, our scripture tells us that these wise men were not. So one way we live out the wisdom of the wise men is to not be consumed by fear. In fact, they journeyed far from home. Our scripture tells us that they were in the east. That's all the details that were given. Some scholars think that they may have traveled from the region of Babylon, where Daniel had served, and Nehemiah as the cupbearer to the king. It would have been a several week journey. You see, the wise men were not so consumed with fear as they were eager to worship. You know, they made a choice. What will we focus on? The unknown, the unexpected, the adversities, the challenges of life, or will we celebrate more fully God's presence with us, God's strength and comfort to journey with us and conquer our fears? That was the spirit of the wise men that they show us in our text. Also, we hear in verse 7 that as Herod heard news, he called for these kings to come and visit him. And he asked them to come in secret. You know, I don't know about y'all, but that's an example for us of when we're going down the wrong path. I remember learning very young in age that someone once told me, said, look, if you're doing something that you don't want your mama to know about, you probably don't need to be doing it. That's a good rule of thumb, isn't it? Nowadays, it's if you don't want your wife to know about it, or maybe your husband about it, or even as we get older, you don't want your children to know about it, right? But if we are conducting ourselves in things that we have to keep secret, that's a pretty good rule of thumb that we're not living in the wisdom of the kings of our text today. Herod operated in secrecy. He operated out of fear. That was the reign that he ran his country with, and the wise men were right the opposite. You see, they didn't come in secret. They came wanting all to know that they were there to worship God. They announced their arrival in Jerusalem, not being consumed with fear, but they were there for all to see, not operating in secret. You know, also Herod also gives us another example of how not to live wisely. In verse 8, it tells us that Herod, yes, he asked him to come in secret, but he also offered them this trap. He said, let me know when you find the king so that I can go and pay him homage too. Herod wasn't being truthful. He was living in deceit. Or in other words, he was lying to the wise men. You know, one thing that the wise men operated and gives us guidance for living our life more in the steps of Jesus is that they lived in truth. They didn't come in secret. They didn't come to deceive the king or the people of Israel. They lived lives of truth. As Mary John shared with us in the commandments this morning, Jesus gave us the example of the commandments as he lived his life. He embodied the commandments as he said, I came not to overcome the law, but to live out the law in all of its fullness. He said, when you live in love, when you walk in my way, you fulfill all the law and the commandments. Isn't that what Matthew tells us? That all of the law and all of the commandments are summed up in these two. Love the Lord your God. In the spirit of the wise men, worship him. And love your neighbor as yourself. And to do that, we live lives filled with honor and respect for the Savior of the world. That's the spirit that the wise men engulf with the city of Bethlehem. As they come into the home, they also, our scripture tells us, they bring gifts. They give the Christ child gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some translators believe that these gifts symbolize all of the glory and the gift that Christ brought to us, the symbolism of his earthly kingdom, the symbolism that he was the great physician that had come down from heaven, and the gift that he was the spiritual advisor to answer all of our questions. You see, Herod felt that he was king, but he was threatened because he knew that his kingdom was really built upon lying, upon secrets, upon deceit. Friends, may we know that as children of the Most High God, our Lord encompasses and cares about all of our needs, our worldly needs, our physical needs, our spiritual needs. When we go through the darkness of life, the challenges during this time of year, that's oftentimes, let's be honest, most challenging to us. It's a time of darkness. The days are shorter. Depression and peril and problems can seem to be overwhelming to us at this time. But may we know that even in our darkness, that we have a God of light. The God who came down from heaven, who embodied our brokenness and our darkness to set us free in light and love forever. So yes, we have an example in our scripture today how to live more wisely in the spirit of the kings, to live without deceit, to be more honest in our business, in our family practices, to not live in secret, to be open about our love for others and those around us that we're called to serve, to honor and respect most of all our God. You know, as we begin this new year, the essence of our faith, friends, as I've said many times to you before, is built first and foremost upon worshiping our glorious God. What a gift it is for us to be able to gather in a lovely sanctuary on a Sunday morning and celebrate God's goodness for us. We studied this morning and heard that less than 20% of the residents of our county worship on a regular basis. Do you think there's a coincidence with that and the amount of problems that we're facing as a community and a society? Friends, worship is a gift to us. If the wise men are recognized in scriptures as an example of our faith, of how we should respond to God, then we should be fervent to learn from them. And the first action they took was to go and worship. And did you hear the response? Did you catch it in our text today? Very near the end of our scripture. It's a little bitty word we almost can overlook if we read too quickly. But it says that when the wise men arrived to the place where Jesus was, they were overcome with this word, joy. You see, friends, when we worship our God, there's more joy in our life. When we worship our God, even when days are hard and we're facing adversity and challenges, when we consider the blessings and grace and gift of our God's love, there is more joy in our life. I promise you that. I've experienced that. In our scripture, when they give of themselves, they also knew the joy. You know, have you ever found yourself? I remember as a very young pastor beginning in ministry, that one time a wise sage and advisor in the faith said to me, "Jody, when you're having tough days in ministry, when the ladies are arguing over where they're going to put the microwave, when the old man can't get along worried about who's going to grow the grass, when you're ready to give up and throw your hands up," he said, "do this. Call someone. Go see someone in need. Go to the nursing home and visit someone who has a tougher lot than you. And in giving and living outside of yourself, you'll find your joy renewed." You see, I think that's what the wise men are practicing in our text. They sacrificed. They gave, yes, of themselves financially, but they journeyed and they went and they showed up. Isn't there something powerful in showing up? How many times have we felt ourselves grieved or overcome with brokenness, whether it be a loss in our family or an illness that we face? Then we see a friend show up and express their love to us beyond what words can even do. Have you ever thought that's what we do on Sunday morning? When we show up in worship, not only are we proclaiming God's goodness, not only are we growing in His joy, but dear children of the Most High God, you're saying to our Lord, "I'm showing up. I'm making a stand. I'm not living in secret. I want all the world to know that without your grace, Lord, there's no life. There's no good. There's no love in me." So as we begin this new year, may we embody the lessons of the wise men. May we live fervently, serving those around us, living outside of ourselves. And even when life is filled with darkness, may we know the joy that's found in this holy sanctuary by going and worship and knowing that that truly is the beginning of all knowledge, according to Solomon, and in the root and love of our Lord, where joy is found. Let's pray. God, we are grateful.